this.
One of these days.
Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everybody. How you doing? Good. God is good. And we thank him for blessing us to be here to worship his great name this morning on the first Sunday, first Lord's Day of 2020. Amen. What a beautiful day. Lovely day. It's nice and cool outside. They say it's supposed to warm up to about 70 degrees. And yesterday was a beautiful day. Every day is a good day with the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you're watching by way of television, hello. Everybody say hello.
Hello.
Yes, yes. We are glad that you tuned in this morning. If you're watching by way of live stream in your bed, in your easy chair, we hope you stay with us for a few moments. If you have a question, if you need someone to pray for you, pray with you, if you have a thought or somebody you need to talk to, just give us a call, a number on your screen, and we'll be more than happy to minister to you this morning. And so we're excited to worship God today. We're also excited because we're having our ministry fair today across the street after worship service is over, and we'll say a little bit more about that as we as the day moves on. But we're here to worship God. Thank you so much, brothers, for the reading of the scripture, for the prayer, for the wonderful singing this morning. All of these please God, and the elements that we're here to worship God. You know, worship is all about God, not about us. You know, sometimes we come here, well, I'm going to see what church going to be like today. Well, we come here to worship God. It's not about us being stirred up or entertain. It's about us being pleasing to God. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. Singing and making melody, not to us. We make melody to who?
God.
You don't make no melody if you don't sing, though, right? Amen. Amen. Heard your brother Raymond this morning. God is good. I know sometimes we forget and we have to be reminded, and we just, you know, sometimes we need to do better, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The lesson this morning is entitled Bible Details. Bible Details. Normally at the beginning of each year, I try to do foundational lessons because we want to make sure, you know, sometimes we can come to the house of the Lord or come to worship or come to church and we come out of habit. We come because we know we need to be doing something. And sometimes we don't even know why we're doing what we're doing. And that's why we're to grow in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And there is seems like a constant attack on the word of God, on God himself. And we need to know why we do what we do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Bible says God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that in your scripture, John 4:24? That's in your Bible. And so God has a purpose for us. And so every now and then we want to make sure we're on a solid foundation. Critics have claimed that the Bible contains all kinds of factual errors, and the Bible trustworthy when it speaks. And sometimes people ask me questions. I get emailed about certain questions about different matters, about politics, about same-sex marriage, about marriage itself, about worship, about salvation. And sometimes I think they need to ask a different question. I think the question needs to be asked is, who are we listening to? Who is the authority? Because I think if we can agree on who the authority is, we can answer some of these questions once and for all by simply going to the Word of God. And so we as Christians, many of us, I wouldn't say all of us that are here this morning, because we don't know what reason you're here this morning. We know we think we came to worship God and serve God, but sometimes, you know, people come for different reasons. And I say that because if we're going to answer, we got to decide who we're going to follow. And I can say, well, the Bible is the word of God. But if you don't believe that, you're not going to follow it. Especially when it disagrees with something you want to go on and do. Amen. And so we're gonna talk a little bit about the Bible. It's the foundation. It's where we start because it's God's revelation to us. But everybody don't believe that the same. And there's a different audience. There's a different people. And we don't need to run from it. We just need to keep our faith and keep believing and trusting and teaching what the Word of God says. And if the Bible is demonstrated to be precise, and when you read it in thousands of historical details, shouldn't every search for answers to the weightier matters of faith, of purpose, of morality, of salvation, shouldn't they begin with our examination of the Bible? And I say that because begin and end with it. And especially for some of our younger folks, because you have so many different choices, and so many different philosophies, and so many different teachings. And I do, you know, a lot of reading. And I thank God for men and women who have, you know, some people go far and beyond. You know, all of us are learning, right? Does anybody here know everything? I admit I don't know everything. And I thank God for men who are disciplined and have written things down to help us to grow our faith from studying God's word. And I was reading earlier this week, and that's why I chose this title, Bible Detail. There are some details in the Bible that are just says that this is God. It's nothing but God. Our faith is increased, and there are, we know what the Bible teaches about matters of salvation, many of us, but folk are attacking that and saying that, you know, well, I believe there are many gods and there are many ways to God. And so I want to examine just a few what you might call minor details that they would lead us to a greater faith in the Word of God, a greater faith in the Bible. Tonight, I'm going to give some correlations between the unity of the Bible and the book of Genesis and the book of Revelations. But listen to these examples. For instance, during Jesus's ministry in John chapter 4, Jesus passed through a region of Samaria near Sychar. I think I got a pointer, and I want the brothers to pull up a map. Let me turn it on. Samaria near Sychar. The Lord stopped at a place, Jacob's Well. Okay, here is Samaria. You're familiar with Jerusalem. There's Samaria. There's Sychar. Well, in this area is a place called Jacob's Well. This is a closer-up picture of Jacob's Well. Well, you know, at Jacob's Well, Jesus met a Samaritan, a woman of Samaria, and he suggested that he could provide this woman with water that could perpetually quench her thirst. And she misunderstood what Jesus was saying, and she alluded to Jacob's Well. She said in John 4, verse 11, they pulled it up just a few moments ago. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Well, of course, this is really 20 centuries ago, almost 2,000, well, over 2,000 years ago that Jesus had this encounter with this Samaritan woman. But all of the places that we pointed to on the map, they still exist today. And even Jacob's Well still exists today. And she said the well is deep, and that's a minor detail, but she sure enough told the truth, because even today the well measures 80 feet deep. 80 feet deep. Now, that's a deep well. And even if you go there, the well is, I did some reading, it shows that the well is located in the eastern part of the city of Nablus. It's on the grounds of this monastery, this church, if you will. And they say that if you go through in the church, on the church ground, that you descend down the stairs, there's a crypt, and there the well, Jacob's well, sits. And they have a little small winch and a bucket. And see, so now it says some archaeologists say this, that in 1935, the well was actually measured at 40 meters deep. Now, 80 feet is 20 meters. 40 meters is 120 feet. That's 80 meters. It would be about 8 stories deep, an 8-story building. But if in its original state, they say the only reason why it's not as deep as it was because of debris that had fallen in it. But that is a minor detail. But as Brother Levi would say, the Bible is right. Yeah. The Bible is right. So when you start pulling on the Bible, you got to do a whole lot of pulling. Because there are details in the Bible that are so accurate that you cannot deny the credibility of many things that it says. Another one, listen to this one in Acts chapter 10. And this may not make you shout, but I tell you what, it'll ground you in the Word of God. In Acts chapter 10, there's an account of Peter's visit to the city of Joppa. And Luke, you know, he said that Peter was staying in the home of Simon, a tanner of animal hides. And he said almost as an afterthought, if you go turn to Acts chapter 10, verse 6, let's read it. He said, he's staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by, every word of the Bible is there for a reason. Whose house is by the sea. That's what he said. Some translations say by the seaside. And that's very interesting, because there's a writer who wrote a book. His name is Hugh Schonfield, and the book was called The Passover Plot. And Hugh was definitely not a friend of Christianity. In many aspects, he was hostile toward Christianity. But he made a comment. I'm gonna read it. I put it on the screen. He said this: This is an interesting factual detail, because the tanners use the seawater in the process of converting hides into leather. The skins were soaked in the sea and then treated with lime before the hair was scalped. And even in this comment, it has a funny statement, and it's in the New American Library. It said the Bible was right, is what he said. And here's another instance of a minor, small detail that just confirms and gives credibility to the Word of God. Listen to this one. This is another one. And when Paul was en route to Rome for trial, the ship that he was on, it was in a storm, and it became apparent that the vessel was really in trouble, and the crew cast the anchors into the water. These are small details. Cast the anchors into the water, and the scripture in Acts chapter 27 verse 40. You see, as we give these texts, listen to the scripture, and in the King James translation, it would say, they loose the rudder bands. See, they loosed the rudder bands. They hoisted up the foresail, and they aimed the ship toward the beach. And that's a small detail. It's a small detail. But if you look at the original language that was in New Testament was written in Greek. You look at the original language. It doesn't say it in the King James translation, but most other translations would say this. And we'll read it. Let's read it from the New American Standard Translation in Acts 27:40. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea while at the same time they were loosening the ropes of the rudders. The King James translation would say rudder bands. And they said that they were loosening the ropes of the rudders and hoisted the foresail to the wind, and they were heading toward the beach. The King James translation uses the word rudder, and it's not an error, but when you look at the original language, it says rudders, and I know that may not seem much to you, but it's so precise because in ancient time the ships, they possessed two paddles, or two rudders, if you will, instead of one rudder, and not a single rudder. And so the scripture got it correct, the original language got it correct. And then in 1969, one of the explorers, they found a ship in the Mediterranean, and it played out because when they looked at the ship, it had two rudders on the ship. And you might say it's a small detail, but it's just another confirmation in the scriptures that the Bible is right. That the Bible is credible. The brother read in your hearing from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. All scripture is inspired by God. And this is what the Bible says. It's profitable for teaching. And our Bible school teachers, our preachers, we teach from the Word of God. It is our guide. It is the first say and the final say. It says for reproof. And I know some of you are going to say, but Gary, I've heard so many sermons, and I've been in so many lessons. That's why we come to Bible class. That's why we come to worship, to hear the Word of God again. Because some things need to be reproven, if you will. He says, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate or perfect, equipped for every good work. And I want to end this morning in a passage of Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And God, showing up. I heard Brother Terry praying this morning. God has been gracious to us. And you know what? When Jesus comes again, we are going to be without excuse. Amen. And because God is going to give every person in the world the opportunity to come to him. And I know sometimes we worry about people in other countries. What we need to first worry about is ourselves. Have we heard and have we obeyed God? But the scripture says that his grace has appeared. It brought bringing salvation. It says, notice this. It says instructing us. And that's why the Bible itself is so important. Because God's revelation don't come when you sitting by the bed waiting on somebody, God, to speak to us. There's some learning involved. There's some listening involved. There's some teaching involved. Notice, not just from the teacher, from us ourselves. The Bible instructs us even when the preacher is not preaching if we read the Bible. It says instructing us to deny ungodliness. And that's why some don't want to listen to the Bible. Because the Bible, when you read it, either you're gonna be mad, you're going to ignore it, or you're going to change. Amen, somebody? And you know, if I'm doing something, if I'm committing adultery, and I'm reading the scriptures where it says adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God, then you know I'm going to try to skip that verse. But it's more than one place in the Bible. Brother, why'd you hit on that? That's just one fact in the Word of God that tells us that when you read and study the Word of God, the Scripture says it instructs us to deny ungodliness. And one thing that we should not deny is that God is right. You know, if we're struggling with something, we need to say, Lord, help me with whatever I'm struggling with, but I'm not going to make right wrong and wrong right. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It says to deny ungodliness and worldly desire. Lord, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Yeah. That's why we don't need to never miss the Lord's day.
Amen.
Because it's only one day.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I need the Lord on Tuesday.
Amen.
I do. I need him on Thursdays. Lord knows we need him on Fridays and Saturdays. So we really need the Lord every day. God makes us stronger when we're together, when we're encouraging one another. He says, now listen, you can mess with this. He says, and to live, the Scripture says, and to live sensibly. God don't want us to be buck wild and out of control. In our lives, in our living, and the Word of God teaches us that. And so when we bring out some of the details of the Bible, because God is so wise that he did not make a mistake. And if we see that he's wise in the small details, we need to be grabbing hold and holding on to the things that we see in the Word of God that lead us from earth to glory.
Amen.
Let me finish reading this. He says, righteously and godly in the present age, because we're now in the present age. Yeah, this is the beginning of the year. What a time. What a time that God in his wisdom, he gives us this evolving of time. He gives us these cycles so we can almost start afresh. Our mind, a lot of us, we got resolutions. We've got them on the refrigerator. We got them on, okay, now I'm going to stop smoking. You know how many say every year I'm going to stop? And that's wonderful that God gave us another chance. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop lying to my children. I'm going to stop. I'm going to do better. Because God is good, isn't he?
Yes,
he is good. He says, in the present age. That's why while we're on earth, we need to keep working on ourselves.
Amen.
You know, I mean, at whatever age, young folks and older folks. Yeah, because as long as we got life in us, he says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. See, that's what everything is pointing to us. It's pointing to being with Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for him. This is what God is trying to do. This is what God is trying to do. God knows that Adam and Eve sinned. We all have sinned. We got all this stuff wrong with us. And God is trying to purify for himself a people for his own possession. Zealous for good deeds. I'm so excited. I was across the street earlier this week, and I came over yesterday evening, and I saw all of the tables and the ministry tables and all of the men. I was walking around the table, and I started to say, I was just going to sign up on a bunch of them myself. And I said, you know, this is the Lord's work, because especially the shepherds, the ministers, the teachers, one of our primary roles is to equip the saints for works of service.
Amen.
Ephesians 4, 10, 11, and 12. And so it was wonderful. I saw all of these opportunities for us to, man, expand the kingdom of God, to be better teachers, to be better parents, to be better, I mean, for the young and the old, the seasoned saints. They got this wonderful display across the street. I said, man, I wish I was old. Dirt. I wish I was seasoned. Don't you say it. I don't want to hear it. Because make no mistake about it, church. God created us for this purpose, to purify us, to be a body of people who will serve him. And see, and don't think of it selfishly. When God just wants us to see, we serve him. It brings him glory, but it brings us joy. It's the best life for us while we're here anyway. And he wants us to do good deeds. And I, one of the things that made me so happy is because there are so many different channels, so many different ways that we can serve God. Yes, yeah, and it's going to bless us. And then he says in verse 15, and I mean, you said, Brother Gary, you're ending early. I know I'm ending early because I want to give God glory. And the word of God is quick and powerful, but I want to give you the opportunity to serve God and without excuse. See, verse 15, he says this. These things speak. And that's one of my jobs. He says, now Titus, when Paul wrote this letter to Titus, a fairly young preacher, and he wrote two letters to Timothy. He says, now this is what you keep before the church. He says, look, you say, and that's why the Bible, the word of God, it's our standard. This doesn't come from me. It comes from God. He said, these things you speak. Then he says, and exhort. Exhort is to lift, build up the church, encourage the church. This is good. It's going to make us better. And then he says, and reprove. See, the word reprove, it not only means to reprove something that really should have already been proven. It's almost to negate the naysayers. It says, listen, you put down anything that is against the word of God. He says, reprove with all authority. And so don't look at me. I close my face, close my bowed head. Don't look at my glasses. This comes from God. This comes from the authority of God. This is God's command for us. And then he says, let no one disregard you. Yeah. God is not saying, beat people up and make people do something, because that's not the way God works. But no one challenges the word of God. We stand on it. We teach it. We preach it with all long suffering and doctrine. And the word of God is the final say. So as we lay the foundation for our living, for our life, for our purpose, for our teaching, for the church, for our families, for our own personal lives, it starts with the Bible. And it ends with the Bible. The Bible is the final say. And so when you ask me about same-sex marriage, I'll say, let's go to the Bible. Amen? And if you don't want to go to the Bible, we don't need to go to the courthouse. We surely don't need to go to the White House. We go to the Word of God. We don't need to go to a support meeting or a group seating. We don't need to have a meeting about it. We go to the Word of God. Because the Bible is right. You're here today and you want to be saved according to the scriptures. You come by faith. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You come by believing with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Yes. You come by repenting of all of your sins, and sin is our problem. It's the world's problem. It's the number one problem in the world, and we got to do something about our sins. Matter of fact, we do our, God has already done it. God has already made a way for everybody in the world to have their sins washed away. You have to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of the remission of all of our sins. And what we're trying to do, with those of us that have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ right now, what we're trying to do is to stay saved until we die. And that's what God wants the whole family of people to be purified, to do good deeds while we're on this earth, that we can be with him forever and ever one day. If you need to come to the Lord Jesus, come. If you need to ask for prayer, for whatever it is you need, would you come right now as we stand and sing
the
song of invitation?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully
trusting in his grace
is out?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are you gone?
Spotless are they,
white as snow.
Are you washed in the blood?